Either way, I'm going to use the mic today because I'm a person who likes evidence. And I need the evidence to be seen in order to follow if I trust it or not. So I told you I'm a creature of habit, right? This is a big step for me. I'm using a mic and not a headset. This is like pushing me out of my boundaries a little bit because I'm French and I use my hand. So I hope that doesn't happen too much, right? So, man, God is so good, right? I mean, like, come on. I mean, let's get real, right? We don't even realize how good he is, huh? Man, it's crazy. I got all these notes. I added some notes. I took away some notes. God's flipped some things around on me, and that's how this thing goes. So right up until this morning, I was writing down a quick little note. And basically, I'm going to build off of what Steve talked about last time, the condition of the heart a little bit, right? And I'm going to build off of that. We don't have to stay in an ill state, right? We all got problems in here, right? Let's be real, right? We all got issues. We all struggle. We all sin. But we don't have to stay in that condition. We don't have to stay there. And it's not through our own doing. It's through his doing in us, right? And we got to remember that, because we can get kind of puffed up in ourselves too, right? So we don't want to be puffed up in ourselves and think that we're better than anybody else, because we're not. We all struggle. But I'll tell you what, we're not meant to be defeated. We're overcomers. We're in a tough place. Most of us were in a tough place at one time in our life. And it's been a battle. For me, it's a daily battle to line my mind up with God's mind. Because I have my own ideas and my own feelings and my own emotions. But I really got to focus on what he wants. Because if I do that, guess what? My life and everybody around me will be better. And that's why God does this, right? I mean, you've heard me say this over and over again, right? He wants us to follow him because he wants the best for us, right? He doesn't want to pound us and put us down. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to turn into the people he sees us as. Not as we see ourselves, not as anybody sees me, and not as anybody sees you, but only he sees. He sees the diamond in the rough, right? This life is such a journey and a gift. But there's so many times we face so many different things that can get us down, right? There's a lot. In this life, there's a lot, right? And sometimes we can even hear things in church that can get us down, right? Because our minds aren't quite lining up with the will of God. And that's okay, because that's why you're here, why I'm here, is to learn more about the will of God, right? Sad or negative emotions are going to happen. And God has built that in you, right? Those emotions are there for a reason, right? Those emotions are there for a reason, and he built them into us. He gave us them. When you lose somebody, you're sad, because that's how we heal, right? There's stages to the process, and it all takes different times depending on where you are and how connected you are with people, right? The people that have the greatest love grieve the longest, right? That's not a bad thing, but we're not meant to stay there. We're not meant to stay in that grieving state for the rest of our lives, right? We're to rise above. We're to show others that they can rise above, And we rise above because of him. Because what he's instilling in your heart. And if your condition of your heart is in a good place, then you're going to be hearing from him a lot more. Right? We talked about that before. You also know that I'm a big Rocky fan. I've said this before too, right? And there's I love an underdog. That's why I love that movie so much. I'm just an underdog person. I'm always rooting for the underdog. Because I feel like I'm an underdog. And I can relate to that. And in Rocky Balboa, which is actually like the sixth movie or something like that. But anyways, he's talking to his son and he's saying, the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. This is hanging in my room at work. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It can be a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are. It will beat you to your knees and keep you there if you let it. You, me, or anybody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Right? We get knocked down, we're not going to stay there. And we got to convince ourselves that we're not going to stay there. Right? Not only does this life take some grit and strong backbone, right? Like that statement to keep us moving forward. But as believers in Christ, we have a superior power that lives within us. Cheering us on, motivating us, and instructing us. We have a Savior that has been crucified. Life is crucified. He surrendered his life so we can overcome against mindsets and situations we face. Mindsets and situations we face. He did that for us. And we got to believe that. We got to believe it so much that our lives are built all around that. Satan has no power over God. No power over God. And he has no power over us. He has no power over us unless we grant it to him. Unless we grant it to him. And it's about time we don't grant him any more power. Are you tired of being defeated at times? Because I am. I'm tired of it. This message is called Dear X. Dear X, the letter X. And it's named after a song called by that name that a band called Disciple wrote. They're a hard rocking band, like heavy. Heavy. I like heavy music. I grew up in the 80s, and we listened to hard rock, and it's instilled in me. It's instilled in me. And instead of listening to, like, Poison or other bands like that, I'm listening to Disciple. Because the words are powerful. They have powerful words, even though it's loud and it's strong. And, I love hymns. Don't get me wrong. I never liked hymns, to be honest. And I love hymns now. That's transformation. Okay? But the root, my go-to is loud. I went to Soul Fest yesterday, so I saw Skillet. Skillet is a loud hard rock and cranking band. And it was beautiful because there were so many young people hearing the message of God and overcoming. That band sings all songs of overcoming, winning the battle, winning the battle. And that's where that lies. The X is really a is a blank, to fill in the blank. That's what it means. Dear blank. Okay. And you're gonna hear this song, and I'm gonna because I found an acoustic version that I think this church. I mean, there's a lot. Where's all my young people today? I don't even know where they are. But you're all young compared to somebody, right? Kelly's here, so that's good. So, you're gonna hear it, acoustic version. So don't get too freaked out. But it's a great song and it's an anthem song. It's an anthem song because it's about there's no power except through Christ, right? And He gives us the power to overcome anything. So I'm going to read it, just a couple lines from one of the verses, and so you can get an idea of how this works, right? So it says, "Dear anger, you made me so high. And anger raises you up. It's uncontrollable, right? It's uncontrollable at times. Road rage, uncontrollable for some people. Uncontrollable, right? You made me so high. You were faithful to show up on time. When anger comes in, boy, it's there, isn't it? Very fast. It comes in like a lion, doesn't it? Such a flame that was burning in your eyes. Go ahead. You're not going to take me. You're never going to take me. I was yours. Oh, no. You can bend me, but you're not going to break me. I was yours. I'm not yours anymore. You don't own me. You don't own me. Go ahead. Put a target on my forehead. You can fire, but you got no bullets. I was yours, and I'm not yours anymore." Right? Power through Christ. We don't have to stay in that state. We can move out of that state. We can take our heart and change it. Only through Him, like He wants to change it, we got to be willing to change it. Basically saying, we were sinners. We were lost, hopeless, when we faced adversity. And the evil one was manipulating us, right? As soon as he sees a little crack in your mind, he's going to step right in there. He wants to devour us, right? But we are not that person anymore as believers. We are not that person. Say that. Say it. I am not that person anymore. I am not that person anymore. And that's it, believers. I do copy this and put it on YouTube. I have about 30 people that like to, some are believers and some aren't, that listen to things. And I don't like being on YouTube, but it's the way I touch them. It's the only way they'll listen to me for some reason. But anyways, if you're not a believer and want to be an overcomer through Christ, then I suggest right now is the time to learn that. Because you can overcome so much. You can overcome so much. I have overcome so much. Mindsets, bad habits. I still got more to do. We all do. We all do. We are delivered. You've been delivered if you're a believer right now. You've already been delivered. But we could always use more revelation. We could always use more revelation. Scripture gives us a lot of insight into not letting this world overtake us. And to let Christ carry us through whatever we face. Whatever we face. Are you willing to surrender whatever we're facing today to Him? Because if you're not, you're going to stay with an ill heart. I'm going to stay with an ill heart if I'm not willing to surrender that to Christ and trust, which is what the theme of this year has been, trust that God is going to work through this with you, with me. Let's get into some scripture. Luke 10:16. Then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. Talking to the disciples, right? Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me, right? What is your message today? What is your message today? And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. Who's the burden on? The people who are listening, right? So we say what is meant to be said through Scripture, how we see Scripture, hopefully through the Holy Spirit, through reading the Word, through more understanding, and then it's on them to grab a hold of it and do something with it. So the same thing when I'm preaching here, right? You can either take what I say or you can reject it. And sometimes it probably needs to be rejected because I might say something wrong that doesn't line up with the Word. That's on you to figure that out. That's on you to figure that out. Don't take my words at face value. You research it. You see if it lines up with the Word of God. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we use your name. Is that power to overcome? Do you believe that that happened? If you're a believer, you should believe that that happened because it's in the Word of God and it's inspired by God. It's not a fairy tale story. It's reality. It's history. Real history. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Nothing will injure you. Can you believe that? Can you grab it? When things are flying at you, can you crush it down? The answer is yes, because we've been given that authority. Right? We're given that authority. We don't have to accept it. When the enemy is coming at your head, and saying things that are wrong, that's going to screw up the condition of your heart, you can crush that down. How? Use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus and declare it. And declare it. First John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's. We know we love God's children. If we love God and obey his commandments, loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. You know why they're not burdensome? Because we love God enough that we want to please him. That's why they're not burdensome. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world. Defeats this evil world. How you believe in it. And we achieve this victory through what? Our faith. Our faith. That's how we win. That's how we don't go down a bad road into the pit of hell. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That means there is a world out there that don't think Jesus is their Savior, and they're struggling. And they need us to help them to see what Jesus can do in their life. First Corinthians 15:56. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us mercy, gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our power. He gives us victory over sin. He doesn't want us to stay in sin. It doesn't mean we're not going to face consequences of sin. But he gives us victory over sin if we choose to believe him. Right? And follow him. That's how we become victorious. That's how we become overcomers. That's how it loses its sting. John 16:31. Jesus asked, do you finally believe? Now, I like to put myself, when I'm reading scripture, I love to put myself in those type of questions. Challenge yourself. Put yourself in that question. Do you finally believe? Do you finally believe? Reggie. Do you finally believe? Can you get it through your thick skull? Can you get it through your thick skull? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when you will be scattered, each going on his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Father is with you. The Father is with you. I have told you all of this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. He's not holding any punches. He's telling us ahead of time. We are going to have trials. We're going to have sorrows. They're going to happen. They're going to happen. This is a tough life sometimes. It's tough. I was going to go see Sam after work Friday. And I called Laura. And she said, actually her daughter answered. His daughter. Both their daughters. And said, Sam just passed away 20 minutes ago. It caught me off guard. I knew Sam wasn't doing well. I just figured I want to go over there, pray with him just a little bit. I'm going to Manoah. We had done that a few weeks ago. But I just felt like the Lord was leading me that. I was a little late. I still went over after and got to sit with Sam and Laura and family and talk and kind of go over a lot of stuff. It was beautiful. And they need it. So God's timing was right. But in my head, my timing was off. I felt like I should have been there. I stayed at work and did a few notes. And I thought as I was driving over, I was like, if I hadn't stayed and done those notes and just left it till Monday, I came back on the weekend and did them then, then I would have been there when that happened. And I could have prayed before it happened. But God's timing is perfect. I wasn't meant to be there before. I was meant to be there after. We go through many trials and sorrows. I can live in regret for that the rest of my life, not knowing that it's God's time and not mine. But as believers, we're not meant to do that. I'm not going to live in regret because I trust God. And He put me when I needed to be there. I didn't know. If I had known, I would have made a different decision. I didn't know. Right? But take heart because I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. He overcame death. And that means we're meant to overcome the world. And guess what? We're going to overcome death too. Because we got eternal life. We may not be here, but we'll be up here. And we'll be together someday. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:12. I didn't think this was going to be so emotional for me. Developing it. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Others meaning the world who don't know Christ, right? The temptations are no different. They come at us. They come at us. Same way. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. We don't have to keep giving in. We don't have to keep giving in. We're overcomers. We have power through Christ. We don't have to keep giving it. He won't give us more than we can stand. He believes in us. He believes in us to overcome this stuff. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, you're already thinking ahead of time, like how to maybe sway the word of God a little bit so you can kind of do something you want to do, but you're not sure, or maybe you even know that God doesn't want you to do it. I mean, am I the only one that has done that, you know? Because it happens, right? And if you really, really pay attention, and I've seen this happen a couple times, even lately, where I'm kind of like, ooh, I just, you know, I could manipulate this a little bit. But if you look and wait just a second, God all of a sudden might send a song, or somebody might say something, or something might pop up on your phone that says, I'm here, and you don't have to do this. Trust me. And he's giving us a way out. He's saying, listen, you open this door. Okay? You kind of already opened the big door. You step through it. There's a smaller door. I'm making the door smaller. It's going to get tougher. I'm going to say, you can still get out of this. You don't have to stay there. You can move. You can get out of this. Just back out the big door. Back out the big door. Don't keep going through smaller and smaller and smaller doors. He gives us a way out. We're not paying attention most of the time because our desire, our fleshly desire, wants something. And so we're kind of going through smaller doors. We're walking through them. And you know who's turning the handle? We are. He's kind of saying, don't do this. But there's always going to be a way out. I've seen Christian people, big leaders, make mistakes, bad decisions, go against God. And there's a way out by being accountable. And they're either choosing to be accountable, or oftentimes I see a lot of excuses. Well, this happened, so that kind of, I did this because of that. Excuses, not accountability. Right? There is always a way out. God wants to forgive you. He wants you to learn from our mistakes. And it says it right here. He will show you a way out. So next time when you're playing in your mind, and Satan is playing in your mind, say, yeah, just do this. Don't worry about it. God will forgive you. Grace. It's all about grace. Right? And you're saying, well, if I do this, I know all I got to do is repent, and then I'll be good. But is that really what God wants? That's really what God wants? For you to sin and then repent. No. Right? No. He forgives the lady at the well, but don't sin no more. Don't sin no more. Right? 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness. Notice how he says, pursue righteousness. He doesn't just say, you're granted righteousness, and you're righteous. No, pursue. That means we gotta work at it. We gotta work at it. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. The true faith. Don't be deceived. There isn't multiple ways to have it. You're going to hear a lot of, well, there might be other ways to have it. There is no other way to have it. There's one way. Through Jesus. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Right? That's where we get our power. That's how we become overcomers. I'm going to read some other lyrics from other Christian artists. Right? We listen to songs. They sound nice. I love them. Are we focusing on the words? Are we paying attention to the words? Are they changing the condition of your heart? We the kingdom, don't tread on me. Get on out of here. Get on up. Leave. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Right? Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. I'm a believer. That rant, he's choking on the blood that ran down the tree. The devil is choking on the blood that ran down the tree. He's choking. Right now, ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Prouder. Run, devil, run. I got the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. I got angel armies and the Holy Ghost. I got spirit-filled, baptized by fire. I got a valley of bones that came alive. I got a cross, a hill, an empty grave. I got a trumpet sound and one sweet name. Shake the gates of hell. It's finished and done. I got my Jesus and the devil got to run. Matthew West, Mended. You see your worst mistake, but I see the price I paid. There's nothing you could ever do to lose what grace has won. So hold on. It's not the end. No, this is where love's work begins. I'm making all things new, and I will make a miracle out of you. Can you grab those words? Can you believe those words and apply them to your life? If you're not believing these words, you're going to have no power. You got to believe the words. You got to believe it beyond belief. I don't know how all this works. I don't understand how God talks to me. I don't get it. I don't get how he listens to all of us at the same time. I don't get it. I don't have to. I'm okay with that. Okay? But all I know is that he loves every single one of us. And he doesn't want any of us to feel defeated. Not for 1 minute. Not for 1 minute. Emotions are going to happen. Trials are going to happen. Tough things are going to happen. But we are not meant to wallow in defeat. We are meant to rise above. through him. Last week, Steve said, shared a message, and I don't know about you, but it really hit me. It was real. It was honest. It exposed some of his insecurities. And he asked for prayer. Hope you were praying for him. A message about the heart. Steve couldn't have done that message without trusting God. There's no way anybody stands up here being vulnerable. As a leader, there's an expectation or a thought in people's minds that if you're a leader, you got it all together. And I'll tell you right now, that's a bunch of hogwash. Maybe Steve does, but I don't. I can't talk for Steve. But I'm telling you, we're in this together. Just because I speak these words doesn't mean I don't struggle with them. Okay? He believed Scripture. He believed the words that he listens to on song. And that's the only way he did this. That is the power of overcoming through Christ. Christ's power within Steve. Right? That's how this gets done. It had a profound impact on me last week as I prayed what I was going to include in this message. That is why I'm going to surrender to God's will. And I'm going to share something with you guys that I don't want to share. If you want, I'm not going to share it verbally. I got it on paper. I was going to share it verbally, and God said, don't share it verbally. It's not meant for verbal talk. And I'm not sure why that is. It might be so that you can take something home, read it, and contemplate it. It might be because some of you probably aren't meant to have it. And some of you are. So you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray to God before you come and grab one of these and see if you want to read it or not. Okay? It's out of my journal. And I've talked about how I've talked about the process I go through a little bit last week or last time I preached. And unfortunately, the recording didn't happen, so I'm going to repeat a little bit here. When I journal, not all the time, but sometimes what I do is when I'm praying with God and stuff, and he's telling me to journal, and this isn't every day, it's just when I feel like something important happened or something, I just write down thoughts. I don't think about them. I don't think about them. I just write down a bunch of random thoughts. Whatever he's, boy, you ask God to give about something, and I'll tell you what, if you're honest and you're listening, boy, you get thoughts like pounded sometimes. So that's me. I get pounded with these thoughts, and I just write them down because they're coming so fast that I'm going to miss something if I don't do that. So I just write down a bunch of, you know, whatever he's saying. And I write them down, and then I go back, and I look at each thing that I wrote, and it might not be the same day. This particular thing was the same day. It was about an hour and a half. We were down in Winnipesaukee, and Carla was getting ready for the day, and it's an hour and a half process usually. Probably kill me if I said that. And I was out on the porch, and I heard some news, and I felt like praying and journaling. And so that's what I did. So it was an hour and a half process. What I have here is a brief little part of what, this was just the beginning of what I wrote. there's a lot more to it. And I had to pray to God to see when what I was supposed to share and not share, where I needed to stop. And the other thing is I did add a couple words because it wouldn't make any sense to people. There's no flow. So I kind of added nothing that would change the content, just so it flowed more. It made more sense when it flowed, when I typed it out. So anyways, a bunch of random thoughts. I go back and I review them and I pray about them. And sometimes I meditate on one sentence and that's it. To see if there's revelation with that or not. And I know, you know, I've done this with this part of my journal, and I know what God gave me for revelation. And it doesn't apply to everybody. That's the beautiful thing about God is we take things that God shows us, and then we got to decide if it pertains to me or you or anybody else, right? So I'm going to do something crazy and share that with you if you want. So pray about it. See if you want to grab it. I want you to take it home. I don't want you to read it here. One, because it's embarrassing for somebody to read your journals while you're late for them. Two is because I really feel like this is meant, and I'm putting a lot of trust in you guys, right? So this was really meant for you to go home, kind of contemplate, maybe share with your spouse, your child. I don't care. Whatever you feel led to do. But really, to search for revelation. What is God telling you? Because God didn't tell me to share this. I don't want to share this. But God told me I had to share this. After Steve's message, I was really convicted. I had a sense I was supposed to share this. And then after Steve's message, he really messed me up and forced me to share this. So, and this is small compared to some of the crazy thoughts that go through my head. This actually was cohesive and stuff. I get some crazy thoughts. God downloads some crazy stuff. But anyways, so if you want one, come see me after. I'll give you a copy and pray about it. And see what God tells you about it. I don't need to know. I don't really want to know, to be honest. That's between you and God. It's always between you and God, very honestly. If you feel like you have to share something with me, you can. But only if it's led by the Spirit. Let's end with one last scripture here. Psalm 91:1. Nobody sees my journal. Just by the way, I usually don't share with Tyler or anything. Maybe because some of that is I'll share one last thing before we read that scripture. Went to listen to Crowder talk. Q&A stuff, and one of the questions that came up was, you know, he's been doing this for 20 years, very successful career. I love his concerts; they're like the best concerts, maybe one of my, probably my favorite one to go see, and I see a lot of them. And the question was, in 10 years, what would you consider successful for you? And because he's accomplished so much, right? Like, how much higher can you go, right? And he said, if me and my wife are still in love in 10 years, your school-age sweethearts, then that's successful for him. Everybody thought it was going to be about music and stuff like that. It was about his marriage. That's success in his eyes. So, powerful. That's power. That's power, right? God could take his music career away from him at any time. All right. Psalm 91:1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Right? Amen. If we're in him, we're going to find rest. When you're in turmoil, you're not in him. Because it says, if you're in him, you will find rest. So if you're all up in arms, you're not in it. Sit back and regroup. Try again. Right? This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Say that. Read that. Imprint it in your heart. Change your condition. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you in his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Dr. Beck, he's our armor, right? We have power through Christ. Not only for our own benefit, which he loves to do, but for his glory. He's a jealous God, but he's jealous for me, jealous for you. He wants you. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. Amen. Dear God, we lift this up to you. We pray that we are not defeated people. We are overcomers. Help us not to just say that, to listen to that, but to live that. It is a battle, a daily, sometimes minute-to-minute battle. I got back from vacation, rested and ready to go. And as soon as the ball dropped and I walked on my house, things started coming all week. And it was a week of chaos. But my refuge is in you. My belief is in you. I was tired getting back here at 1:30 in the morning. My voice was raspy this morning from singing yesterday, and you still pulled me through this message. And it's a message I believe you wanted me to share. And I trust you, and I trust that you are going to touch people where they needed to be touched. Everybody on their individual level, at their individual place, wherever they are in their walk with you, you got them. You got them and you got me. Let's walk in victory. Amen.